This is Ron Moss Ministries. If you had listened to my podcast, maybe a few weeks ago, I was talking about the incident with the young African-American male who was jogging through a neighborhood, apparently saw a vacant home that was being built, decided to go in and walk around and look at it, something that probably a lot of us have done, particularly ones who like to look at houses. Went back out, continued his jog, and not knowing that there were three Caucasian men who were apparently watching him, had made up their mind that he was apparently doing wrong, decided that they were going to do a citizen's arrest with guns loaded. And subsequently, I can only come up with ambushed him. He tried to fight back, hard to fight a battle against three men with guns, and subsequently was killed. Since that time, a lot has come out. Those three individuals have been arrested, and we hope that justice will be done. Then, just the other day, I turn on the news and I see an African-American male with laying on the ground. A police officer has his knee on his neck. The African-American male is pleading with the police officer to please allow him to breathe, that he cannot breathe. For some reason, there were three officers total who were over this man, and for some reason it was imperative or important to continue to put his knee on his neck. Subsequently, the man eventually stopped talking altogether. Apparently looked like he had either collapsed or died or went into a coma. Nobody knew until later on the reports were that he had died. A few days after that, I think maybe one or two days after that, we find out that all four police officers were fired. I was watching the news today and noticed that there was marching and unrest. Then I looked at the news the other day and saw where a young African-American male was doing some bird watching in a park. He noticed that a dog who was in the park with a lady, a Caucasian lady, and he asked her, would she please put the dog on a leash? She basically told him, and I quote, that you need to stop filming me, and if you don't, I will call the police and tell them you're trying to harm me. She did make the phone call, and her first conversation was somewhat cool, calm, and collective, and then she kind of went up a couple of notches to show that she was truly in imminent danger. Of course, this African-American male had done nothing to her, had not approached her. He actually was telling her not to come close to him. And what that did for me was it took me back to a time where, it actually took me back to a time where I can't remember the lady's name, but it happened right here in South Carolina. And I never forget the news report came out where some African-American men had basically took two young white kids and abducted them. And I remember hearing about this and how the police officers went to all black neighborhoods and basically questioned as many black men as they could because they were going to find those men who did this. Later on, it eventually came out that this Caucasian mother actually drove her two kids into the river and they drowned and they died. Unfortunately, that is kind of a part of our history where it becomes somewhat apparent because of whatever reasons, we're kind of easy to be blamed on some things. That it becomes easier to say that a black person did it, particularly a black male did it, because society or some part of society, let's put it that way, don't put this on everybody. There are parts of society that look at us as thieves, as thugs, as robbers, as gangbangers, as hustlers, as nobodies. And that's real. And it would appear that even as we have moved into 2020, that there's a lot more going on besides COVID-19. That we are also still dealing with race in America. That we are also dealing with the fact that some people are still looking at African American males in a way that says you're nobody. And you're easily, because of the way society looks at you, some of society looks at you, that you're easily to be destroyed. Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to believe that you didn't do it. Nobody's going to believe that you're innocent because the society has already put a mark on you. And can I tell you what makes it hard? I just want to say this because I have black listeners and white listeners and all types of listeners. I'm a 57-year-old African-American male. And I got to be honest with you that anytime that I am in any interaction with any Caucasian person that I don't know that's in power, I feel like it's going to go wrong. Why do you feel like that, Ron? Why do you feel that way? Why would you even think that way? Because of what I've seen and what I've heard and what I know. Their unfortunate documented history that talks about how the government, how local and state officials at one point in time in century were Klansmen, police officers who were Klansmen, police officers who are neo-Nazis. When I say government, military men who supposed to serve all of the U.S. Some got on board. You've heard them. You remember Timothy McVeigh. They had a different agenda that had nothing to do with serving America. And so here we are, black men, who have done all that we're supposed to do. Take care of our families, work hard, do all the things, get an education, do all the things that are necessary to be looked at in a positive way in this world. And I gotta be honest with you, when I am on the road and it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning and I just got off work, I just can't think about making it home and getting a bite to eat or relaxing. I just can't think about that. I got to think about the fact that what if I get pulled over? And what if it's that particular police officer, the one that can't stand me, that one has been looking for a reason to pull that gun out? And he's got it figured out. There's probably a 70 to 30% chance that he could get away with this. Because history teaches us that usually society looks down on us and refuse to believe that people in uniform, people who have a badge on their chest or their waist, people who have went through training, people who are supposed to protect and serve, would ever do anything like that. That's scary. I remember not to last year, my daughter got pulled over, and I was so afraid for her. I was literally terrified about it. Oh my God, please act. Look, I'm praying she knows how to act. She knows how to carry herself. She knows how to conduct herself. That's the world we live in. That's what it's like. If people are honest today, that's what it's like to live in this world now. And the scary part about all of this is, these are folk that have power. Who wants to go against a man who has authority and a weapon and training on how to use it? Who wants to go against that? I want you to think about this. And I want to say this. I think it's important for me to say a few things here. First and foremost, I want to make sure you understand that I will believe this until I leave the planet. That the majority, I'm going to say 95% across America, of our police officers are good, decent, family-oriented people. I've met a lot of them over my lifetime, black and white, mostly white. Never have had issues with any of them on a level where we didn't work it out. So I want to make sure I say that up front. That 95% across this great country of ours, the majority of police officers, white officers, are good, decent, family-oriented people that have taken on a responsibility to protect and serve, and they're there for us, all of us, no matter what color you are, no matter what part of the neighborhood you live in, no matter what your social or political status is. That badge is for all of us. But there's another part of the police department that looks at us in a different way. That 9 times out of 10, before they've even ran your tag, before they even asked for your license, before they even asked you, what are you doing? That they've already gathered a preconceived notion on who you are, what you're about, what you're up to, and what you're getting ready to do. And none of it is legal. And so the approach immediately becomes aggressive, particularly for young African-American males. The Bible says that we get weaker and wiser. Our young males are in a place in life where they have had enough. They're not going to put up with it, and they're going to be aggressive. I wish there was a way that we could get together and do more training in that area and say, hey, it could cost you your life because you're dealing with some people out here who are looking for a reason to kill you. And unfortunately, society has decided, some of society has decided that because the way you carry yourself, because you wear the baggy pants, because you wear the dreads, because you wear the earrings, because you do this and that, that identifies you as a bad individual. That identifies you as a thug. That identifies you as a gangbanger. That identifies you as a drug dealer. That identifies you as a robber, as a thief. When none of those things, the majority of the times, is true. Do we have issues in our community? You better believe we do. Do we have gangbangers in our community? Of course we do. Do we have thieves in our community? Of course we do. Do we have hustlers in our community? Of course we do. Of course we do. Do we have robbers and thugs? Of course we do. But they're in your neighborhood too. They might carry themselves differently than we do because we're dealing with different cultures now. We're not dealing with criminals. Most of the time, we're dealing with cultural differences most of the time. But unfortunately, in our culture, it gets to be identified as bad. And when you pull up on a young person with an already preconceived notion that something bad is going on, then that means it's going to be bad throughout the whole process. And hopefully, that young man will live to see another day. That's the world that we live in as African-American males. Now, I want to say this. In any part of our society, you're going to find bad people. I'm sure in the automotive industry, you might have some bad people. In the manufacturing industry, you're going to find some bad people. There are probably people in high places and big positions who might not purposely ever hire an African-American male in a management position, because they made up their mind if they get into a position of power, the one thing that they're not going to do, qualified or not, they're not going to hire that black man because the way he or she has been raised. You might not want to believe that, but it happens even now. There are corporate people, unfortunately, some. And let me be very clear. I know a lot of good white corporate people who are decent, honest, God-fearing men and women. Some of the great people you'll ever meet in your life. Some that I consider my brother. But there's also, because there are bad people everywhere, another group who has made it their mission in life. There are judges that sit on benches that whenever we stand in front of them, they've already made up their mind. Forget about the record. Forget about another chance. Let's put them away. Let's get rid of them. In every facet of our society, you're going to find some bad people. Now, let me be very clear here. There's bad black folk too. I want to say this because it's going to come up from my Caucasian brothers and sisters. Y'all got issues in your own neighborhood. What are you all doing to take care of? Y'all get y'all mad and upset when you hear about police officers killing black folks. But what are y'all doing about you killing each other? Trust me, we're trying to do something about it. We're not sleeping on it. We're not sleeping on that issue. The problem that we have in our community, and I don't mind being public about it, that we are, as I guess most of society, we are reactionary people. We act when something happens. Right? They're marching like crazy now because of this man who died, because this police officer had his knee on his neck. They're marching, but there's no marching before an incident. There's no conversation before an incident. So there's a possibility there might not be an incident. See, we are reactionary people when we should be proactive people. And proactive people are always doing something, always interacting, always looking for a way to make society better. That's what proactive people do. And unfortunately, we are the kind of people, and I know it's just not black folks, it's all of us. We really don't respond to anything until after the dam has burst. We haven't done anything to stop the dam from bursting. We say, oh, give it another year. It's okay. Give it much time. Ah, those cracks don't mean anything. That's okay. That dam's been there for 100 years. And eventually the dam burst, and then you want to react. It's too late then. So we are trying to be more proactive in my community. Trust me, we're working on that. We're trying. But as you know, everything takes time. Everything is a process, but the process has to happen. I still believe, folks, I do believe this. I still believe in God's greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And I love God because he doesn't say except for. That means I got to love my white neighbor. I got to love my black neighbor. I got to love my Korean neighbor. I got to love my Hispanic neighbor. I got to love my Filipino neighbor. And I got to love all of them as much as I love God and myself. Period. And until we get that right, until we begin to understand just how important this is, because I'm going to tell you something. If you got grandkids or kids and they're teenagers, it's their future that's going to be jacked up later on if we don't get it right now. All this time that you don't have, you're busy being busy. Is that generation that we're going to jack up that's going to be messed up because we didn't do what was right, so they don't have to go through even worse stuff? Because if we don't fix this thing, it's going to get worse. If we don't start meeting with our local and county governments, our local and county police departments, and start sitting at the table and having some conversation, let's talk about our culture differences so we can understand each other. Yeah, you got people saying we've done all that, but we stopped. And so we should have kept doing that. We got to stop being people who, because all of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we got to stop judging people and throwing the key away. Now, you might not like what I'm getting ready to say. Those police officers should have been, something should have been done. I don't know if they should have been fired. I don't know. I think that something else should have been done. They should have been trained. They should have been retrained. They should have went through some type of cultural or something diverse. Something should have happened. Something should be set up because they got families too. So and if we are people of God, then we got to take the emotional part out of it sometime and still see the good in bad people, because bad people ain't got to be bad forever. They don't have to be bad forever. What about you? Black man, black woman, black sister, black brother, Filipino man, Filipino woman, Mexican man. Somebody gave you another chance when you messed up. And by the grace of God, you had people that believed in you. So we can't do that to folk, police officers. We can't throw away the key on them. We can't throw away the key on government officials. We can't throw away the key on that corporate giant in manufacturing or corporate giant, wherever he is. We can't throw away the key. We got to believe that they can change. We got a lot of work to do, people. We got a lot of work to do. And I hope you're ready to get your bootstraps on and let's get busy here. Let's make this world a better place. You know, one city, one state at a time or at the same time. I don't care how we do it, but we got to get busy. And I want my white brothers to know I love you. I want my Filipino brothers to know I love you. I want my Hispanic brothers to know I love you. I want my Korean brothers to know I love you. Chinese, Japanese, I love you. But we got to come together and we got to make America a better place. Our president, when he ran for office, he ran a campaign that said, let's make America great again. I wish that he was mentally in the right place where he would have said, let's be neighbors again, because that's what God wants us to be. My hope and my prayer is that we won't give up on each other. My hope and my prayer is when you see wrong, tell somebody. Let somebody know. If you got somebody that worked with you that's talking down on people, that's saying something negative about people, you need to go tell your supervisor. If you got a police officer who you know is racist, who you know don't like black people, you need to go tell somebody in authority. There are things that we can do, people. We still have an opportunity to make this a better place. My hope and my prayer is that we'll start doing that. When you messed up, nobody threw away the key of your life away and said, forget about them. So don't you throw the key away in somebody else's life when they mess up either. We are truly in this together. We can make it together. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.